a little bit more bright and cheery this evening than this morning. It's good to see your faces. It's good to have those who were out this morning and back with us. As Daniel has already mentioned, we appreciate those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. We're currently studying in the adult Bible class the book of Isaiah. And I appreciate Jeff earlier and Bob now taking us through this great study. It's good to revisit, and I would encourage all of us to revisit Isaiah. There are so many great and grand truths that are there that are repeated in the New Testament. Some have called it the gospel of the Old Testament. It's just a great book. And this evening we're going to talk about something that is extremely important in our service to God, and that is service. In the scripture reading that we had this evening, Paul talks about the Lord's servant. And I want us to study this evening that great work that we have to be in the Lord's service. There's nothing more important than being in the Lord's service. There's nothing more rewarding than being in the Lord's service. And I'm glad that we have servants here at Warfield Boulevard and around the world, brethren who are wanting to serve the Lord. It's a great calling. We used to talk about those who were joining the military as being called up for service. They're being called up for service. And I want us to be reminded this evening that when God calls us, He's calling us up for service. He's always wanted His people to be servants. If you are local and can attend those studies on Sunday and Wednesday with regard to Isaiah, I would encourage you to do that. We've gotten up to Isaiah chapter 50. And if you can be a part of that Bible class and that Bible study, that would be great. God calls us to service. God has always called people. You go back to Genesis chapter 12 when God called Abraham. And God has called people all the way down to this day. Through the gospel, He calls people. But my question this evening is, for what reason? Why does God call people? Why does God call us? Well, you might be thinking, well, we get something when we're called, and that's true. We get something from God. We get forgiveness of sins. And there are other spiritual blessings that we get. And ultimately, having been found faithful, we will get a home in heaven. But I'm here to tell you this evening that the Word of God tells us that when God calls us, it's not just to get something, but to give something. We are to be givers. We are to be doing something, and that doing is service. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, He was going to get from his lineage, He was going to get a land later, and His people would, and He was going to get a great nation, right? And there would be a seed promise. But read those verses again, right in there, Genesis 12, 1 through 4, along in there, read in there where God said, "And be thou a blessing." He was to be a blessing to others. He was to give something. So when God calls us, there's a reason. When God calls us, 2 Thessalonians 3, through the gospel, He's wanting us to achieve a purpose. He's wanting us to engage in a particular work. And that is the work of service. Our calling, brethren, has a purpose to it. And may we never forget that. One thing that we've been studying in the book of Isaiah is that God called Israel, but they forgot their purpose. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So being called by the gospel today is not just simply what can we get from God, but what must we also be giving? And what is the purpose and the reason for which He has called us? It's to benefit ourselves, yes, but it's also to benefit others around us. We simply are called for service. That should be Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus said, "Those that are first in the kingdom are servants of all." In Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there, Romans chapter 1, we're studying, Lord willing, next week, the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul reminds the Roman saints there in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, look at this, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. Notice that the calling is connected to service and the service is connected to calling. You can turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 and find that that is true also for all Christians, not just the apostle Paul. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "For you, brethren, were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another." Notice that the calling is connected to serving one another. We're called to serve. So this evening, I want to talk about the servant of the Lord. We're in a section of Isaiah that emphasizes the Lord's servant. And I thought it would be good for us to spend some time reminding ourselves that we are called for service. All throughout time, as I've mentioned, going back to Abraham and others, God has called people. And on different occasions, Abraham and Moses and Joshua and others, God said they are my servants. Moses, several times in Scripture, Moses is described as the servant of the Lord. Why was he called up to serve God and lead his people out of Israel? Why was Abraham called up? We talked about that. Why was Joshua called up to lead the people into the land? Called for service. And you here this evening, the majority of you have accepted that call, and we hope others will accept that call and obey the gospel. But let us be reminded that we are called for service. When you turn to the book of Isaiah, individuals like Isaiah himself is described as a servant. He was serving God and being a prophet and preaching. Eliakim was a servant. David is described as the Lord's servant. Individuals are called for individual service. But this evening we're going to focus on God's people Israel. And even a smaller amount of people within Israel, and then even smaller than that, Jesus Christ, and ultimately this evening we want to look at our role as a Christian. In the book of Isaiah, a theme comes up, and that is when God calls a people, a large group or a smaller group or even one person, He wants them to perform a service for Him. I'm glad that we get forgiveness of sins. I'm glad that we can go to God in prayer and get our prayers answered. I'm glad that we have a local church and a spiritual family. That's another blessing. I'm glad that we have that hope of heaven. But in the midst of all these things that we get, let's remember what we're supposed to be giving. We live in a society that doesn't stress service. Our young people, our kids, and maybe your kids when they were in high school, would get extra awards or points for service-oriented activities. After-school service-oriented activities. You remember that, parents? And if your child got some service organizational activities, they could get some awards and things like that. We live in a society that says, don't serve, be served. But God calls us to service. So turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Let's begin just a brief survey in the book of Isaiah of this use of service. And we begin with all of Israel being called by God out of Egypt, going back to the book of Exodus, all of God's people being called by God to be servants. The whole nation is described as my servant. Now this evening, I want you to picture, if you're making notes, I thought about doing this for the PowerPoint and forgot it, but if you want to use a couple of shapes, you can do this. You can do circles if you want, or you can draw a triangle if you want. If you use a circle, then you can draw a big circle. That would be the nation of Israel as a whole. They were God's servant. And then draw a little bit smaller circle. That's going to be the remnant of Israel. Those who are fewer in Israel, they're God's servants. Draw a smaller circle, the Messiah, the Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. He is the Lord's servant. So a bigger circle, a little bit smaller one, and then a smaller one. You can do that. It reminds me of when there's a calm body of water like a pond, and you throw a rock out there and it makes those different circles. All of Israel was God's servant. When they did not act accordingly, the remnant within that was God's servant. And then one who was a Israelite would be called to be a servant. Another shape that you can use is a triangle. On the bottom, the long part of the triangle on the bottom, that's all of Israel that was called God's servant. From within them, going up the triangle a little bit is the remnant. Going up a little bit farther is the Messiah, and at the very top are Christians who obey Jesus Christ, and they are the Lord's servant. But the point is to see that God calls His people to be servants. And one thing that He did was, when He called Israel out of Egypt, He wanted them to serve Him. Look at chapter 42, verse 19, verse 18. Hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see. This is Israel in the days of Isaiah that has left God. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 1. They're full of sin in their life. They're coming to the temple and they're offering up the sacrifices, but they're full of sin in their life. They're just going through the motions. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as Jehovah's servant? Thou seest many things, but thou observest not. His ears are open, but he heareth not. This is talking about Israel as a whole who has left God. The same blind and deaf comes up again in chapter 43 and verse 8 and following. You can read chapter 45 and chapter 48. Even God's people as a whole coming back after the captivity are called my servant. The problem was that when God called Israel out of Egypt, it wasn't just simply, hey, I get to be out of bondage. Turn to Exodus 19. Do you remember what God wanted them to be when He got them out of Egypt? He wanted them to be a kingdom and priests. He wanted them to be a people that would show others the one true God. It wasn't just simply, come on out of Egypt, but come out of Egypt and I want you to be my special people. And I'm going to give you what's called the Ten Commandments, and there's going to be other laws here at Mount Sinai. And when you get over into Canaan land, you're to show the people who I am. They were to be servants. And they did that for some time. One time in their history where they really began to slip, that you can see it in what we call Old Testament history, is the period of the judges, where many in the nation would leave and they would become idolatrous. And many in the nation would apostatize and fall away. They were not serving God's purpose. They were acting like the world. And that's a lesson for us today, brethren. When we act like the world, we're not serving the Lord's purpose anymore. We're going to close this evening by reminding of what our purpose is as a Christian. What service are we supposed to be performing here in Clarksville, Tennessee? But when we act like the world, we're not performing the Lord's service. And so what happened is, in time, nationally, they failed their mission. They became spiritually blind and deaf by the time of Isaiah here, some 700 years before the time of Christ. They were like the surrounding nations, and they had disobeyed God's law. Verse 21, it pleased Jehovah for His righteousness' sake to magnify the law and make it honorable. But this people, look at it, who this people? Well, back up in verse 19, my servant, Israel as a whole, this people How are they described? They have robbed and plundered. They are all them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Nobody's saying, let's get back to God. They're just living their ungodly life. Verse 23. Who is there among you that will give ear to this? That will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to robbers? Did not Jehovah? He against whom we have sinned, and in whose ways they would not walk, neither were they obedient unto His law. That's when they began to fail their mission as the Lord's servant. Calling out of Egypt, I have called my son, Hosea. Well, they got a lot of things from God. But when they get to Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, God says, you're to be giving some things. You're to be serving others, not just me. You're to be taking my word to others. You're to be showing others the one true God. You're going to get into a land of false gods and idolatry and worldliness and all kinds of sin. All of those laws in Exodus and Leviticus, stay away from all of that. Why? Because I've given you a mission, and that is to serve others and bring them to me, and you can't be doing that when you're living like them. So number one, in the book of Isaiah, servant is used for all of Israel in general. Come with me now to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. So within that big circle is a smaller circle. There's always been throughout time, going all the way back to Abel, in a family, there's always someone who wants to do what's right. Whether it's a family or a nation, there's always a remnant. There's always someone who's living right. So in Isaiah's day, not everybody, not 100% of the people were ungodly. There were always those, Isaiah and others, who wanted to live right with the Lord and not just simply go through the outward motions. They're called the remnant. Now in tonight's lesson, I have tried my best to keep these passages in context. I will divide some of these remnant passages into what I'm going to call the present faithful remnant, and then there will be a remnant in the future. But this is a smaller group of Israelites who are also called God's servants. Look at Isaiah 41, for example, in verse 8. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and called from the corners thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. Notice in verse 9 the word called and the word servant. This is very important. I have called you to what? To be a servant. Not every, the nation as a whole would not do that, but there would be some within that who would do that. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame and confounded. They that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that are at war against thee will be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, Jehovah thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm of Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith Jehovah. Thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh with the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind will scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in Jehovah. Thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. These are people who rejoice in the Lord, and they glory in the Lord, and they follow His word. Look at chapter 44, verse 1 through 5. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Jehovah that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Who will help thee? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshua, whom I have chosen. Look at that again. Chosen to serve. Some of the same language is used. But why do we call this the remnant? For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and streams upon the dry ground. Look at this. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am Jehovah's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Jehovah. I'm the Lord's. This is clearly God's people. And there were those in Isaiah's day. And then Isaiah says, on thy seed, there will be people down the road who will call upon me by name. And they are the Lord's servant. You see the same thing later in the chapter in verse 21. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. These are people who want to be forgiven. These are people who want to truly live by the Word of God. And they're blessed with forgiveness. We find the same thing in verse 26 that confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. So, within this ungodly people who were supposed to be serving God, there is a righteous remnant. This remnant, like their fellow brethren in Israel, they were called to serve the Lord, but these folks remained faithful. And that may be true today. There may be those that are unfaithful around us. But we have to stay faithful to the Lord in the midst of apostasy. Isaiah prophesies at a time right before the northern kingdom goes into Assyrian captivity, and then right after that time, and he's trying to call people back to God. Many don't want to hear him. The righteous remnant do. And they're called the Lord's servant. Look at Psalm 48, verses 20 through 21. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare all this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say, Jehovah hath redeemed his servant. This might also be, could be put in this next category of the faithful remnant in the future. But even those who would come back from Babylon in captivity will be the Lord's servant. Isaiah 63 verse 17. Isaiah 63, 17. I've been talking a lot on the radio program about the Psalms, and I've had the Psalms on my mind. But Isaiah 63, 17. Excuse me. O Jehovah, why dost thou make us to err from thy ways and hardenest our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake. The tribes of thine inheritance, thy holy people possessed. But a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are become as they of whom thou never bearest rule, as they that were not called by thy name. Come back to us. The faithful remnant always wants the Lord to be on their side. Look with me at Isaiah 54, even into the future, long after Isaiah is dead and gone. Turn with me to Isaiah 54. Israel's remnant in the future are known as God's servants. Some have described this as the Israelites leading up to the time of Jesus. In the time of Jesus and up to the time of Jesus. You come to the birth of Jesus. You have Simeon and Zacharias and Elizabeth. And you have people looking for the consolation of Israel. You have people looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord. There's a faithful remnant up until the time of Jesus. And look at Isaiah 54:17, for example. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Jehovah, and their righteousness which is of me, saith Jehovah. There's always going to be a people in Isaiah's day and even in the future who are righteous. And they are the Lord's servants. Look at 56 and verse 6. Also the foreigners that join themselves to Jehovah to minister unto Him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be His servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and holdeth fast my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people. That is a passage that is quoted by Jesus when He scourges the temple. So, even in the future, there will be those who will serve the Lord. They're going to keep the Sabbath. And they're going to hold fast the covenant. Yes, when Jesus came, He ran into a bunch of folks, the scribes and Pharisees and others, who they were more interested in following their traditions than the Lord's Word. But there was a faithful remnant. And it's from those people that gather on the day of Pentecost, that turn and obey Jesus Christ and become the first Christians in the New Testament church. So there was a faithful remnant within this large body of people that had lost sight of their mission. There was a group within that are the Lord's servants in Isaiah's day and even down the road in the future. Turn now with me to Isaiah chapter 42. And let's make the circle a little bit smaller. From the large nation of Israel, we come in a little bit to the remnant, and then we come in a little bit more to a singular individual, a servant. This is the Messiah. This is the promised Messiah who ends up being the fulfillment being in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon Him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Notice as we read the description of Jesus Christ here, these are called the four servant songs. When you read these passages, there are things that are said that Jesus is going to do for people. He's a servant. He has a mission. And He's going to bring justice to the Gentiles. He's going to bring light to the Gentiles. He's going to bring God's truth and God's law. He's going to bring a covenant. He's going to restore Israel. He will bring salvation to the ends of the earth, Isaiah says. He'll be rejected by many. But He'll be obedient, chapter 50. And in chapter 53, He will suffer death. He'll be resurrected. He'll be glorified. He will make intercession. This is Jesus Christ. These four servant songs are Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading here in chapter 42. He will not cry, nor lift up His voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. He's not going to force people to follow Him. A bruised reed will He not break, and dimly burning wick He will not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He has a mission. Of course, Jesus brought truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till He have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law. There's a new law coming. Jeremiah 31:31. There's the law of Christ that's coming. There's a new covenant. There's a new law. And so, the first of four servant songs. Look at verse 6. I have called, speaking of the servant, the Messiah, I, Jehovah, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand. Look at that, called. Called. Called what? To be a servant. I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And when Jesus appears to Paul, and we're going to study this next week, Acts 26, He said, I've appeared to you so that you can go and show light to the Gentiles. Jesus will do this through gospel preaching, his own preaching, and the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. Turn with me to Isaiah 49. We studied this morning, had a good discussion of this morning, Isaiah 49. Bob, do you want to get up and take this part? You taught it this morning. You did a great job. I just let Bob do chapter 49. Here's the second of four servant songs. Listen, O isles, unto me. Look at this, isles. This is going to be for everybody. This is going to be for Jews and Gentiles. And hearken, you peoples from afar. Jehovah hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He hath made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hid me. He has made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he hath kept me close. And he said unto me, thou art my servant. Look at verse 1. You've called me, and I'm your servant. And then in the very next word, Israel, Jesus came from Israel. And we know that this is not Israel because in verse 5 and 6, the servant is doing something for Israel in verse 5. He's bringing them back. He's gathering them. This is someone other than the nation of Israel. But he's coming from Israel. Thou art my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. It would be difficult. Verse 4. I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught in vanity. He didn't convince everybody. He didn't convert everybody. It was going to be a difficult road. But he would accomplish the Lord's will. We can keep reading all the way down through verse 13, but for sake of time, come with me to chapter 50, beginning in verse 4. The Lord's servant is going to be someone whose ears and eyes are open to the truth. He's going to be obedient, and he's going to keep his ears open. He's not going to be rebellious, verse 5. And he's going to have to suffer. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. We know this to be the case in Jesus. He was beaten and spit upon. But he's someone who's willing to keep his eyes and ears open to what his Father wants him to do. Come with me to the well-known Isaiah 52 and verse 13. We, of all these servant songs, the most popular one is Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. But Isaiah 52, 13, my servant shall deal wisely, he shall be exalted. This is the last of the ones speaking of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 53, 1. Who hath believed our message, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, the servant, the Messiah, grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see them, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus went through all of this because I've been called to serve. And it's going to involve being smacked and spit upon. I did not read the last part of chapter 50, verse 6. And my cheeks to them that are plucked off, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. There's going to be some difficult things. And ultimately going all the way to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we read this passage around the Lord's table and other places. This is the Lord's servant. Brethren, he did all of these things because it was a service that he was performing. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. He will see the good results of what will happen from him dying on the cross. and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. This is the service of Jesus Christ. And so, this is Jesus. Some liberal scholars and others, especially Jewish scholars, they say, oh no, none of this is prophesying of the future, because liberal scholars and Jewish scholars, they don't believe in prophecy. So they say this is just still talking about Israel. That's not the case. These servant songs are quoted in the New Testament and applied to Jesus, as you can see here. Isaiah 42 applied to Jesus in Matthew 12, and Isaiah 53 applied to Jesus in these various passages. This is Jesus. This is not Israel. Some liberal scholars say, well, it's just Isaiah. It's not Isaiah. It's not Israel. It's Jesus. And we need to get the answer right to the question. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Let's get the answer right. When the eunuch asked, of whom speakest thou this, the prophet, of himself or some other? Let's get it right. It's not Israel. It's not Isaiah. It's Jesus Christ. And beginning from this scripture, Isaiah 53, Philip preached who? Jesus. This is nothing but the fulfillment of a prophecy some 700 years before the time of Christ. And then last of all, the Christian. Just like in Exodus 19, God's people were called out of Egypt to be a priesthood and a holy nation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, when the gospel calls us. And by the way, this call to service, you don't have to respond. You can say no. God gives us free will. But if we choose to respond to that great gospel call, it's called to service. And just like Israel of old, we are what? Well, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Almost word for word, Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. A people for God's own possession. Look at this. That you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you. We've got a job now. We've got a mission. We've got a service. We're servants. In the New Testament, Christians were described as servants. When Peter and John gathered together with the early church there in Acts 4:29, thy servants are offering up this prayer to God. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, and in our scripture reading tonight, the Lord's servant must not strive. We're servants. In the New Testament, Christians are described as fellow servants. The question we need to be asking ourselves, brethren, is, and I know that you already know what it is, what is our service? And you're performing that. You're striving to do that. And the lesson tonight is, let's remember that and let's do better if we can. Brethren, it's easy, like Israel of old, to forget that we're servants. And after a while, they started living in the land and, woo, let's just live like the Canaanites. And they forgot their mission, their calling. And they lowered themselves and debased themselves, and they're acting like just everybody around them. God had called them out and put them on a higher plane. Not that they were better than others, but made them walk on a higher plane so that they could serve others and bring people to the one true God. And they debased themselves and lowered themselves. And by the time of the kings, they're offering up their kids in the fire just like everybody else is. So today, let's remember, Paul calls it a higher calling, Philippians chapter 3. And let's remember that we are here to serve. And let's do it together. Let's be fellow servants at Warfield Boulevard. We need to help each other from time to time. Let's never forget our calling to serve. And our purpose, it's to change the world. Wow, you talk about a mission. You mean my mission is to change the world? Yes. That's impressive. And that's what our lesson is about. And may we never forget that. Israel of old as a whole forgot that, and they were blind and deaf spiritually. Fortunately, there were those, a few within them, that remained faithful. And fortunately, there was one, Jesus Christ, who would come, and I love Isaiah 50, my ears are open. My heart is open. I'm here to do your will. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. And even if it's hard, I'm going to do it. And we're so thankful that he did that. Let us, when we come to Jesus Christ, be that. So turn with me now to 2 Timothy 2, and we'll close this evening with these brief thoughts. Paul, in talking to Timothy, this would primarily start with him, but would apply to all Christians. Timothy, the Christian preacher, the member of the church, Paul says and describes him as the Lord's servant, 2 Timothy 2:24. And if you go back to verse 19, the Christian is in the Lord's house, and he's to be a vessel in that house of honor, not dishonor. If there's anything in our lives that we need to put out of our lives that's not right, we need to do that so that we can be a vessel of honor. Verse 21, look at this. Ready for the master's use. I've got a master. I'm the Lord's servant. And I'm ready to be used in his work. And if I need to get something out of my life, I'm going to do that. So verse 22, flee youthful lust. I'm going to get anything out, and then I'm going to follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Why? We're the Lord's servant. And so, just briefly this evening, we have the service of taking the light to others. We have the service of influence and example. We have the service of assembling for worship. And calling people and inviting people, come worship with us. One reason why there's an assembly in a local church is so that people in the community can see us coming together. We live in a world today where this hyper-independence is going on and everybody just does their own thing at home. They see us coming together at 290 Warfield Boulevard. In fact, one was telling me recently about driving by the building and seeing the cars here, and that's what brought him here. We serve a purpose, and that is to be a light and to assemble and call others to that assembly and to preach and teach God's Word. The entire church, not just the apostles, Acts 8:4, went everywhere preaching the Word. Let's be busy doing that. And to help others, we're not going to walk by on the other side like the priest and the Levite. But when we see someone in need, when we hear a need, we're going to do that even outside the body of Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, if there's the faint-hearted, if there's the weak, we're going to support them and we're going to encourage them. And that is so needed today. And we have the service of showing the excellencies of God. We have been called to service. And Peter says that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you. That makes a lesson in itself. Guys, if you want to work on that and bring a good lesson sometime, what are the excellencies of God that we can show forth? That makes a great lesson just in itself. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. The Lord's servant. Let's not just go through the motions. Some in Isaiah's day were just going through the motions. Chapter 1 talks about that. Coming down to the temple, going through the motions, going home, living their sinful life. But Isaiah is constantly reminding them, we're the Lord's servant. Let's get back to truthfully and faithfully and righteously fulfilling that law. That role, in following God's law. We're going to sing a song of invitation. All things are ready. We can respond to that call of the gospel. And if we do this evening, we're being called to the greatest service. You're being called up for service, by the way. Every time there's a gospel invitation, you're being called up for service. I'm being called up for service. It's the greatest service that we can fulfill and engage in our life. If we can help you to do that, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.